to our feet again. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for how you've already been working in our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have these privileges, these days to gather in the name of Jesus and humble ourselves before you and have our visions renewed. And we ask of you, Lord, that you would continue to do it. We're humble that you would hear us. We're humble, Lord, that as we bow our hearts to you, that you will actually come and bring cleansing and washing and renewing of vision. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to do that here. Lord, you know all of us are at different places in our walk. There's some here that are grandparents, and their children are gone. Lord, you know there's some here that have young children, some middle-aged children, and just we're all at various places. But God, we ask that you would continue to move here in a way that it'll continue to affect the rest of our lives, God. You know, we can have some emotion, and we can have you speak to us. But God, we desire that somehow you would imprint things in our life that will affect eternity. We ask for that, Lord. So thank you for being here, and would you take these couple loaves and fishes and multiply them? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Blessing to be together, and we thank God for how he's already been speaking here. Aren't we blessed? The title that I've chosen to give the message this morning is just simply Visions for the Home. I'd like to maybe begin this morning by just sharing some statistics that I have received, and I have looked at them, and it troubles me a lot. I have looked at our churches. I've looked at various types of groups of people, and I've looked at the rate of retention that we have as a group of people who fellowship together, and the numbers don't look very good, do they? I don't have any numbers for the groups that we fellowship with of the rate of retention. I do have a couple other numbers here that I'd just like to put on the board here for us to consider as I share the message here this morning. These numbers that I'm going to give you this morning, they come from the book called Amish Paradox. I assume they're accurate. Someone has put these numbers together. but I'll just put them on the board here. For the Old Order Amish Church, they have a retention rate of between 80 and 85% of their children that they retain in their churches. And I am not sure how to, you know, all of us, you know, we might have various opinions when we talk about Old Order Amish churches. But be that as it may, there's some things I like to just take a look at here. The Old Order Amish retain between 80 and 85% of their children within their churches. The New Order Amish, they retain between 60 and 65% of their children in their churches. In our local area here, there's called what the Dan Amish. They're a more conservative Amish. They retain around 95%. Those numbers obviously come from their books that they put together. Yeah, someone has gone and put those numbers together. The next number I'd like to just give you is for the Beachy. Fellowship people, there's an estimate. These are not accurate numbers, and I think the reason that there's not accurate is because there's a lot more coming and going, and more similar to our type of churches. There's an estimated 30 to 35% of their youth that they retain within their churches. An estimated amount of that. I can put on here our churches. And I'll put a question mark behind it because I don't know what it is. But I wonder. I wonder. As I've been looking at those numbers, and I look at our children, and I look at the group of people here today, it troubles me a lot. And I look at my wife and I, we have 8 children, and I wonder. As I look at those percentages, they go down the list with my children. It really troubles me. And I'm not here to point any fingers at anyone, but I'm here just looking at that, and there's a cry on my heart, and I look at what God has done for us as a family. Look at what God has done for all of us here. And I wonder this morning, even among all the children that are here, there's a lot of youth and children here. And I wonder how many are going to be faithful to God? How many are going to be faithful to God? We have seen in our generation, we see a mass exodus of people, youth coming up to the age where they make their own decisions and walking their own way. And it's troubling, isn't it? It's very troubling. And it's with that burden that I just look at them and I go down the list with my children. And I'm very humbled. I'm very humbled to even stand here and preach. I had the blessed privilege of yesterday. There's a brother come to me and shared some concerns about our family. And I was so blessed that he did that. And I look at and I evaluate where I am with my family, with my sons and with my daughters. And you know, when they're young, things can look pretty good. Things can be quite rosy at times. Maybe they're not, but sometimes they are. But when they come to the age where they make their own decisions and own choices, that's when things really become very obvious where things are. And I just look at this, these numbers, 80 to 85%, 60 to 65%, 95%, 30 to 35%, and I wonder where we are. I don't know. But as I look at my family, and as you look at your family, you have your family here today, and you go down over each one, and you just ask yourself the question, which one of your children would you like in this other percentage on up to 100? Those are some very sobering questions, aren't they? Well, for an opening scripture, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Verse 1, it says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that has made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they, your children, they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water course." That's a blessed promise, isn't it? He says he's going to pour water on him that thirsty. Upon those of us who are thirsting, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God promises that he's going to come and pour water upon us. And he also says, "I will pour my spirit upon thy seed." Those of us that are hungering and thirsting, he's going to pour water on us. I, as Brother Elvin was sharing, and I just simply say that if we as fathers have the burden of turning our hearts to our children like he was sharing, there's no need for me to even share what I'm going to share. And because what Brother Elvin was sharing is the heart of the matter. That's the heart of the matter. And the things that I'm going to share this morning are more things that flow out of all that. And some of the things that I'm looking at sharing here, if you just try to do the mechanics and you don't do what Brother Elvin was sharing about turning our hearts to our children and giving ourselves in that way, we'll miss it. Like for us to just consider the need for instilling the fear of God in our children. I think all of us realize that there's a major lack of the fear of God in our society today. We ask ourselves the question, where is the fear of God? You look at all the evil deeds, the wickedness that goes on, and you ask the question, why all the wickedness? We say, well, there's no fear of God. Why is there no fear of God? And you look at, as was mentioned yesterday, the prisons are filling up. You know, you look at all the mass exodus of people walking away from God, and you say, where is the fear of God? And what are things that we can practically do to help instill the fear of God within the hearts of our children? Where does the fear of God come from? I'd like to read a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 11. It says these words. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now let me read that again. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In the Old Testament days, if there was sin in the camp, it was dealt with. Right? If there was a man or a woman that went in and slept with a neighbor's wife, they brought him out and they stoned him. And can you imagine the fear that would well up in the hearts of all the people as a whole congregation was gathered around? And here was this man, and the people, they picked up these stones and they threw to kill. They threw to kill. And this man, he stood there, I'm sure, trying to cover himself, and they throw to kill. And finally, he'd crumble on the ground and he'd die. And you realize that all the congregation that was gathered around, you realize that there was an example there of what happens to wickedness. If there's wickedness, there's judgment. If wrong things are done, there's consequences. And you can go on down the list of things that they did back there to deal with ungodliness. But there was penalties. I know in some societies, if a man steals, they chop off his hand and he has to walk around the rest of his life without a hand. And it's a shame, and everyone can see, oh, that man, he stole. There's consequences. And men look on and they fear. But today, in our society today, there's all kinds of wickedness, and yes, they go to jail, they go to prisons, and they sit there, and they sit there, and they sit there. And they have a nice place to live, to lay their head, and you know, all those kind of things. And it's really, it's not good, but neither is there judgment for what they have done. And because of those things, I believe there's a mentality that creeps in even among us that because sin is not dealt with, there's no fear. Men don't fear sin. And I like to just bring it down just a step closer to our own homes. It's very sad. In many, many homes, you see little children, they grow up, And mom and dad tell them to do and to not do certain things. And they do whatever they want to do, and there's no consequences for the wrongdoing. And these children are growing up in our midst, and there's no consequences. They can disobey mom, and they can disobey dad. They can throw a fit. And yeah, they might get a spanking here or there, or you know, whatever you might choose to do. But there's nothing concrete in their hearts that they know without a shadow of a doubt, if I disobey, there's consequences. And henceforth, children are growing up in our homes without the fear of God. And we look on and we say, why is it that our children grow up and there is no fear of God? Why is it that they grow up and, they can do whatever they want to and disobeying the word of God? Clear scripture that's very clear. They which do such things shall not inherit eternal life. They which do such things shall go to eternal hellfire. And they just readily do these things. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that we have failed in this area of teaching our children from a young child to obey mom and dad. And then when they become a little older, when things become a little bit more embarrassing, we try to do things and, to try to restrain them, and yet they don't learn to simply obey mom and dad. There is one commandment given to children that says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And I'm afraid that too many of us have missed that point. Our children have grown up, and they are growing up, and they have not learned to obey consistently. I'm afraid of that. I guess I'd just like to put that out for us, fathers and mothers, that is an area that of ultimate importance, that our young children learn to obey when mom and dad tell them to do something. And if they don't obey, there has to be consequences until they consistently learn to obey mom and dad without question when they're young. And obviously when they get older, there's different approaches and things to do when they get older. But right now I'm talking about young children. It's of ultimate importance. And if we miss this, well, I've missed a lot. Actually, I believe it's one of the most important things. Because it's with consistent teaching in this matter of obedience that children learn the fear of God. That's where they learn the fear of God. And I don't have enough time to go into details of all that. You take that home and you just consider that. But I'd like to just leave that with you, dads. Children have to learn that at a young age. What I'm doing this morning, I've picked up a number of picked out a number of things that I'd like to just touch on. We could spend all day and talk about a lot of different things. But I picked out what I feel are a couple of key things that are very important in the home. and that are destroying many homes. I'd like for us to just consider also the influences that we have within our homes. I'm appalled at times some of the things that parents will buy, or maybe they won't buy, but someone else will give and they'll allow to be in their homes. I think we all realize that there's things that the influences that come to our children will most certainly affect the way they think and the way they'll continue to think. There's things that they play with. There's books they read. There's friends they have. All of those things are influences that in the home, consistently being there with it, will influence their train of thinking. If a child, day after day, is brum-brumming with a motorcycle, he'll enjoy riding a motorcycle when he gets big. Right? There's books that are just funny little story books, and they have these little funny cartoon characters on there, and you know, these cartoon animals, they talk to each other and all those kind of things. There's all kinds of stuff like that that should not once be named in the house of God, in our own homes. Those kind of things need to go out the door. Our children need good, solid storybooks, good, solid toys to play with. You know, you go to Walmart and you look at the toy shelf, and there's almost nothing there that's fit for a godly Christian to have in their home. And brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of the influences that are with our children on a daily basis. If there's, you know, those ugly characters and toys and, you know, all that ungodliness, get rid of the stuff if you have it in your home. And I'll just put out the question, what friends are your children spending time with on a consistent level? Are they at a place where you feel good with them and the direction that they are going? I've had quite a number of phone calls of dads calling and moaning and crying because of where their children are ending up and the direction they're going. And I asked them the question, who are the friends that they're playing with? Who are the people that are their peers that they spend time with? And just on and on, you realize that the influences that are coming on a regular basis to your children are those influences that are negative and they won't bring godly fruit. And then the children grow up and they lose it. And some of those things are very, very difficult, especially if you find yourself in a church situation where there's families that are at a different place than what you are. It becomes very difficult. So, I come back to, and I'd just like to say, that's the reason for some of these figures. That's the reason that many have lost their families, is because there is what I'm going to say, too broad of a variety of tolerances in many of these things within our churches. And then we find ourselves not wanting to hurt other people's feelings, and sometimes it's family, sometimes it's good friends, Sometimes it's people who, you know, we really don't want to cut ties with. And it really hurts. But I'd like to say influences from others is a very huge, important thing that we have to take a very good look at. And I don't believe in just cutting people off. Say, oh, I won't have any time, you know, spending any time with you and all that. And yet, brothers, we have to. There are things that we do need to cut off. There are things that that we need to sort our way through and have spend time with godly people that are upbuilding and will influence our children in the right way and will help build the foundation that we're trying to build. And if you find yourself in some of these things, may God help give you some wisdom. But those are things that I have seen many shipwrecks because of it, because of the influence of other children. Ungodly things like Cabbage Patch dolls and Winnie the Pooh, those are actually demonic, by the way. Bookshelves, fantasy books and romance books and mystery books, get rid of them. Dads, please go to your bookshelf and make sure you know what's there. And you might need to do some cleaning if there are things there that you need to get rid of. Please do, because those things feed the flesh in your child. It feeds the flesh. It'll stir up things. It'll stir up those things in their hearts that are not right, and it'll cause them to go a wrong direction. What about those computer games? I am appalled by many Christians who their children sit there glued to those computer games. Let me just tell you that those things will not bear good fruit. And I encourage you to get rid of them. Video games, if you have any. Videos. If you've got movies, videos, Christian videos, what they call good, those things, get rid of them. Those are wrong influences. Our children will sit there and they'll watch, and those things will make imprints in their hearts like nothing else will. You know how it is. You've seen children, and the difference between reading a book and reading or doing one of these games, these things are so addictive. Those children, you just can't get them away from it. They've got to go. Please do, brothers. If there is any here. And I'll also mention cell phones. Young children shouldn't have cell phones. If there's a need for those, as you know, and teenagers going up through, if there's really a need for it, there's some of those things can be had. But even friends texting together, those things are not a good thing. Stay away from it. Those things are not good influences. Dads, I'd like for us to consider our responsibility on the purity of our children. I hear so many dads say, well, my dad never spoke to me about any issues of purity or private issues, and I just don't know how to talk to my son about it or my daughter about it. And I'd like to just encourage us dads and moms that it's our responsibility for the purity of our children. It's our responsibility to sit down and, you know, like what Brother Elvin was sharing this morning about, that's a good place to start. But to sit down on a regular basis with your children and just talk to them about issues of purity. Even young children who are not yet aware of really, they don't understand those things. You start talking to them about the things that matter when they're too young to understand. That's when you start. And you teach them, that's wrong. You don't do that. This is how you play with your friends, and this is not how you play with your friends. You know, there are certain things between brothers and sisters that's wrong to do, and you talk to them about that. It's our responsibility. And it's tragic. It's tragic when you see young children getting involved in immorality in the home and the horrible bondages that it puts in their life. It's horrible bondages that come on young people's lives because they weren't guided in these areas. I'd like to put this up and just plead with you dads and moms. Please talk with your children. Not only your children, your youth. About these things. Please do that. Please do that. And make sure that you watch over. If it's small children, if you have friends over, don't just assume that everything is fine. Make sure they're not playing behind closed doors. Make sure that you speak to your children and they know certain things that they are not allowed to do. Talk to them. Share with them. Just share them. If someone does this to you, this is how you respond. You come and you tell your dad right away if they start talking about this. You just tell them those things. In a group like this, I'm not going to be very specific, but I'd like to just put that encouragement out for us. Brothers, it's sad. It's sad among so many families. Here and there, it crops up and you hear things that happen. And then you see those young people come up and you see the struggles they go through and you see all the things that they struggle with for years because of those things that happened that should have been watched over and guarded. Another thing for us to consider, parents, is having time with our children that they become mom and dad's best friends. And Brother Elvin touched on some of these things, but I'd like to just spend a little bit more time with it. I hear many dads and moms say, well, I don't know how to have a good relationship with my children. When we sit down, things just don't go well. They just don't, it just doesn't flow very well. I'd like for you to just consider the possibility, if you find yourself in that place with older children and youth, where you see that you sense there's just not the closeness there. Let me give you some advice. I'd encourage you to sit down with your children and your youth and you just share with them that I don't know how to have a close relationship with you, but I'd like to. Can you please help me? Because I don't know how. At our home, it's such a blessing to on a Sunday night or on a regular weekday night, you come home and after everyone's there, you know, you all sit in the living room and, oh, there's a lot of talk going on, all the things that happened, and there's just just the blessing of sharing together. And sometimes I look at the clock and it's turning 11:30 and 12 o'clock. And I know everyone needs to get up in the morning, but we're having such a blessed time together as a family, just sharing together. And, oh, you know, everyone's sharing the things they went through and all those kind of things. It's just a blessed sharing together. Let me just tell you, those are things that I cherish. And I know that our children just love it. And it's the platform to where when things come up that really need some direction and guidance in our home, we can do it. You know, Deuteronomy says that we should teach the commandments diligently. Let me just read in Deuteronomy. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I love these times of sitting together. You know what happens? There are such sweet, teachable moments. And something happened, whether it's at work or whether it's at church. Maybe something happened, and maybe it's a young man or a young daughter at church, or you know whatever, you know, something happened and you saw something that wasn't right, and as a family you just sit there together, and you just, you know, as a dad you just share, you know what happened out there, and you know that wasn't right. This is how they should have been conducting themselves, and you see. There's something happening there. And then you also, after you discuss all that, you come back and share, you know, we don't want to be critical at them. You know, it's not that we're trying to say they're all out there in left field. But listen, that's not the direction we want to go. And those are very sweet, teachable moments. Everyone's together, and you're sharing together, and it's not one of those times when everything's stiff, and you know, it's not one of those times. It's just the sweet flowing, and we talk about things. And by the way, let me just tell you, those things like that that we talk about, they don't go outside our doorway. There's times that Dad needs to go talk to someone, okay? But those kind of conversations, the children don't go around and talk to other friends about what happened here and what happened there. Those things stay within our doors. But oh, that sweet sharing, those teachable moments. You know, the Bible talks about it happening when we rise, when they rise, you know, when we lay them down to sleep. You know, just whenever opportunity rises, our son comes and asks us a question, and we think, oh, this isn't a good time to be talking about that. And we just sort of cut him off. Let me just tell you, that's not good. Occasionally, you might have to tell him, well, I'll talk about that tonight when we come home. Just remind me, we'll talk about that. But most of the time, especially in the home, we need to take the time to answer and give consistent answers. Fathers, we need to be instructing our children. I am shocked at times when I hear where a dad is at, then I hear where the children are at. And I realize that there's no communication between the dead and the children. And I asked the question, how do children form convictions? How do they? Do they just sort of grow up and things just sort of, you know, they form their own convictions? Sometimes that's the case. But let me just tell you, the way children will form their convictions is by mom and dad sitting down with them and says, you know, this is what the Bible says. We bring scripture in and we bring live illustrations of what's happening and we just say, these things are not right. These things are not good. This is God's will. And we share with them all the things that are going on in our own hearts and we see things happening in the world. We see things happening in our community. We see things happening in the church. We see things happening with our friends and we talk about them. And the children will form solid convictions because they see and they hear and they understand why Dad is saying the things he is. And then when they need to be guided, all of a sudden children understand why Dad has the concerns. Children understand why they need to be guided. But many times Dad's busy and hasn't been communicating and children are back here and maybe wife is back here and Dad's up here somewhere. And then there's some very critical moments come and we lose it. We miss it. I can't emphasize that enough. We need to relate together. We need to relate together. Here's a couple things that terribly discourage children and youth. An angry father. A mother that is not in submission to her husband. Parents consistently dwelling on negative things. I've heard many youth tell me, I've heard many youth tell me that I really have a heart to please Dad. But it seems like I just can't. I try my best, and I know that I do some things wrong, and I don't want to do that. But I have a very difficult time pleasing my dad. I have a difficult time, or maybe it's mom. I have a very difficult time pleasing mom and dad. And I've tried, and I try. I really try. I really do. They tell me this. I really do. I really try to please mom and dad. But I feel like I just can't. And when I talk to the dad says, uh-oh, I'm actually pretty blessed with how my son's doing. I'm actually pretty blessed with how my daughter's doing. I wonder why that is. Oftentimes, not always, there's times that there are real problems that need to be worked through. But youth desire the approval of their parents. Youth often desire to please their parents. Let me just give you a couple things that you can do as dads and as youth. Dads and moms, I encourage you to just look for some things in your youth that they're being a blessing in and just go to them and just bless them with that. Just tell them, son, I just want you to know that I love you. I know that you have a desire to serve God and I see your, this is a thing that you're, you know, point out at least one thing that they're really doing well in. And bless them. Just tell them, I appreciate that. I just want you to know, I see you're really, you know, in Dad's mind, you see maybe five other things that are really out of line that should change. And you're probably accurate, Dad. But why don't you first come here and just look at, get at least one or two things that he's really, him or her are really, really doing well, and just come and bless him with that. You know, however small it might be, you just come and you bless them. Here's another thing for youth. If you find yourself in that situation where you feel like you just can't please mom and dad, something I'd like to encourage you to do is just go to your parents and just ask them, mom and dad, what are things that I can change? What are things that I can do? Because I want to please you. I want to obey you. But it feels like I'm not reaching that. What are things that I can do? Just open your heart to mom and dad. If you exercise yourself in some of those things, those bridges can be gapped. Youth, I would like to just maybe lift up the standard a little bit. Us youth, we have a lot of energies, don't we? We have a lot of ambitions, don't we? And I talk to my youth. I've got youth. And I talk to them. And it seems like they're full of energies. And many times I wish I had that much. And I know, youth, that you're going to put your energies into something. Or you are putting your energies into something. I know you are. All of you are. You know, you're not just twiddling your thumbs. Your thoughts, the action, the things you're doing, you're putting your energies into something. And I'd like to just encourage us, consider, where are those energies being put? Where are you putting your energies, youth? And by the way, dads, I think you ought to be involved here. But I would like to just encourage you, youth, that there are things that you can be doing on a day-to-day basis that are very edifying and that will build your walk with the Lord, and it'll help you to grow spiritually. And too many times there's a lack of specific purpose. And I encourage you to go to your parents and you just ask your mom and dad, what are specific things that I can be doing that will help me to grow in my walk with the Lord? You know, there's all kinds of little things that can be done. We like to do the big things. We really do. I know how it is. We like to do the big things. But I like to just encourage us, we need, as youth, we need to be doing the little things. Our local youth, I wonder how many visits that our elderly have had in our local fellowship from you in the last year. I'd like to just ask you that question, our local youth. Yeah, we have a couple elderly people in our local fellowship. And I'd like to just ask you the question, youth. How often have you gone to visit them, just on a, either with your family, or when it didn't suit mom and dad, you asked them if they could go and be a blessing to them? Just your family, just, you know, you and your siblings. And I just go over there and be a blessing to them. Or maybe your grandparents. Or maybe one of the church families needed, you know, that mother is very busy and she really needs some help. She could really use a loaf of bread, or she could really use some cookies. Or maybe there's that neighbor at the end of your driveway that really you haven't seen for a long time, and you know it'd be encouragement if you just go sit in his house and read the Bible to him. And there's many, many, many things like that that you can be doing and exercising yourself. That could be a tremendous blessing, and you could be growing spiritually. But instead of that, maybe you're reading the books on the trucks, on the latest model trucks, and the latest books about housekeeping, and you know the list can go on and on. We are putting our energy somewhere. We are putting our energy somewhere. And I like to just encourage us, put them in the right things. Put them in the right things. Young people, have you established that place all alone with God where you go from time to time? You know, I know you have your regular quiet time. I assume you do. But that place, maybe it's out behind a tree, or maybe it's down in the barn, or maybe it's out behind some bush, where you go from time to time to just pour out your heart to God and to read your Bible and just open your heart to God and seek Him for your future, to seek Him how you can more fully serve Him. And the list can go on and on and on. But I wonder this morning, where are we? Where are we in some of these things? Moms and dads, children, youth, I know, I trust that our ultimate desire is to serve God, and we are living in what I think we all believe to be the end times. I believe we're living in the end times, and the distractions around us are going to get heavier and heavier. And the things that look discouraging and the things that come our way, bigger and bigger. And I guess I would like to just encourage children, youth, parents, let's form this family unit that's stronger and stronger, that will prevail when those things come our way. Because you and I will not be able to stand alone. Matthew 24 says that things are going to get worse and worse, and He's going to return quicker, or the very elect would be lost yet. And these are the days to be banding our hearts together rather than fighting each other. These are the days to be seeking God with all of our hearts and not allowing these distractions to come our way, but by helping each other, seeking God together. Young people, maybe it's praying for your parents. Maybe your parents have some faults that you see, and they're pretty big. And maybe it's starting to pray for them. Maybe it's for some missionary that you just specifically put aside on a daily basis to pray and seek God for them. Maybe it's your church leaders that you give yourself regularly, but you carry these burdens because you know we can't make it alone. Moms and dads, I'd like for us to just look at these numbers again. 80 to 85%, 60 to 65%, 95%. This is an estimated number, 30 to 35. I'd like to just ask you the question, dads, which of you, those percentages would you like? I don't think I'd want any of those. I don't think I'd want any of those. And I look down the list of my children. Think of Brandon. Think of Kennard. Think of Josh. Think of Caitlin. I think of Benjamin. I think of Andre. I think of Caleb. Which of those would I like?